Hey everybody, it's Jeff Peterson, and you are watching, listening to the Interstate of Music podcast, and with me today is Jenny Teeter. Welcome.
What's up?
I would say that you're currently residing in Nashville, right?
Correct.
But where are you actually from? Are you from Nashville? Is anybody ever from Nashville?
No, and they call them unicorns if you are, because it's just a melting pot now, which is awesome. I think it's awesome. But I'm originally from St. Louis, Missouri.
Okay, so St. Louis, Missouri, and that's, okay, I get it, but is that like a hotbed for your genre of music, or like where'd you get the inspiration coming from there to like up and make the move to Nashville?
Well, I actually went from St. Louis to Columbia, Missouri to college. So I went to Mizzou.
Okay, Mizzou.
And I was actually
in
health. I know. Yeah, there you go. I was actually doing health. I was too far into my health degree to like get a music degree.
Okay.
But I had a band and I'd always loved music since I was a kid. And I visited Nashville when I was 21. Go figure.
Yep, right.
Fell in love with it. Like, I'm going to move there someday. And it just kind of hit me one day. Like,
move there someday for music?
For music.
Or move there someday because you just love the vibe?
For music. And it was like a little, like a little girl's dream. Like, I'm going to do music someday. But then I didn't actually think it was going to happen. Like, I had,
gotcha.
I had the thought, went into health, you know?
Yep.
And years later, it's like, here I am. It's pretty
so,
cool.
So when you go to a large university like Mizzou, when you were playing with a band, were you hitting the larger places? Were you a cover band? What were you doing? Because I mean, when you're playing college campus type bars, they want to hear the jukebox music.
Right. Yep.
And when did the original like vibe start coming from you? And you're like, I can write this. I've got something in my head, and start strumming and writing.
Yeah. So it definitely started as a cover band.
Yep.
That was my first ever band. I was so nervous. And we were the 90s cover band, like every month. At this place called The Bridge. And
it was
the
so rent.
Fun. Yep. Yes. And I was in college, you know, whatever. So I sang the girl songs and it was a lot of fun. So I kind of got my stage presence, you know, started there. And then maybe a year into it, I was like, I really want to start writing my own songs. So we had this opportunity to play like this festival type thing that was in town. And I got the gig and I kind of grabbed the guys from that band. I'm like, all right, so we're a band now, and I wrote this song, so learn it. And I just kind of like threw them into it. It was
really funny. And so you just blended it into kind of everything else and said, hey, this is a song I wrote.
Yep.
Hope you like it.
Yeah, and I just kind of started doing it more. And we had our own band called Jenny Teeter and the Fevers. And we were in Columbia for five years and played just about everywhere in Columbia. So
do you get back home and play much?
I just played at Rose Music Hall actually like a couple months ago.
Cool.
But it had been a while, so it's just, you know, with the pandemic and everything, it took a minute to get back, but it was a lot of fun to go back.
So when you started writing music, were you trying to emulate something? Were you trying to grab from a specific artist that you liked, or did music just start to hit you and you started to just write something out of the blue that you don't know what it tagged to?
I would say the subject had sass because I've always been a sassy person, but a lot
the jacket screams
yeah,
sass. The hat screams
yes,
a little bit of toot.
Yeah, yeah. I've always
in the
been
best
that
of
person.
Ways.
I don't
in
know.
The best of ways.
It's me. But I had a lot of different influences, and actually college was the time that I was introduced to Susan Tedeschi, Derek Trucks Band, or Tedeschi Trucks Band. And so I remember seeing them for the first time, just blown away. And so we kind of had this jam band vibe a little bit, but with my vocal that's like different than a jam band. So
your vocals are so powerful.
Yeah. Like but Susan Tedeschi, she's a hero to me. And she's definitely a big influence into how I sing. And just, I've got this like soulful bluesiness, but it kind of transformed from that there. And then to where I am now, which is more rock and a little bit of country in there. So
for real, I mean, you probably get asked this all the time. So I'm going to be that, you know, deja vu question right now. What do you call your music? What genre? How are you describing it in as few words as possible? Because I've tried to explain it to people that are coming for the show and everything else. And I can't do it in a few words because you've got such a range of who you are and the sound of your music, and it just hits the right way. Mm-hmm. But it hits
right.
Yes,
I love that you feel that good.
Yes.
Okay,
so what do you call you?
I honestly, I've been saying rock and roll with a hint of soul, because it's rock.
That's accurate.
It's rocking, upbeat, but like my vocal is such a soulful vocal that has like touches of blues and a little bit of twang from country, and country, the, its roots come from that too.
It so does, like, yeah.
The soul is in my music, and I hope people can feel that, but it's also like, it'll punch you in the chest a little bit too.
It will. You want to bring it.
Yeah.
So when you're writing, are you writing by yourself, or are you bringing in other co-writes, or how do you like to write your music? Do you like the collaboration, or do you like to kind of do it yourself and then just bring in some musicians to start playing and making it sound bigger?
Yeah, I love to collaborate.
Okay.
I don't know that I've ever written by myself. I think more minds are better than one. So, but I also work well off of other people. Like, I need that guitar player who's better than me that can come up with a riff, and then I just start riffing over it and top lining, and it comes off of that. Or someone who's better lyrically than me. It just like comes out of them. I'm more melodic, I would say, in my strength for writing. Like, I can top line, I'll come up with the like hook and the melody of the song, and then it just kind of goes from there. Like, it can start with the title,
right?
And I'll just like go.
So I've had a lot of singer songwriters come through. Okay, let's do this. Cheers.
Yeah, that's good.
And I've never asked this question. So, in the world today, it's hard to make money as a musician.
Mm-hmm.
So when I ask if you collaborate on songwriting, I started thinking while I was asking that question, if you collaborate and you have more people involved, you make less money on that song if it takes off.
Correct.
How much does that play into your thoughts, like, oh, I can't have too many people involved? Or do you just say, you know what, I want the best song coming out no matter what it takes?
Exactly. I don't care. I'm not doing this for the money. So I'm looking for the best song.
But she still wants to make money.
But I still want to make money.
Come on, people.
So, I've got a Patreon. You can go on that. No, but still, no, I don't ever think of like, oh, man, that's going to be five people. I've never written with that many people. But I think the most I've written with is four. But I'm not worried about the splits. And like for me, I always come to the room with people who are comfortable with me, and they know it's just an equal split.
Yep.
No one's trying to be like, I get 30%.
Right.
Some people are very, whatever.
It's why I actually asked the question, not to find out whether you were greedy about the dough on your music.
But I
feel like the industry has gotten to a point where it's really hard to make money unless you hit that number one. And then if you do, it's like, oh, what's my percentage on it?
Mm-hmm.
So the more I just kind of have gotten to know it, it just made me kind of wonder how people are thinking out there. Yeah, how they think about it.
And it's hard to make money in streaming. There's plenty of ways to make money in the music industry and other ways, but streaming is not the way.
Yeah.
Like, we
butts
make
and seats and merch.
Merch, huge.
Yeah.
Buy artist merch. If that's what if you support an artist, that's how they make a lot of their money is merch. And but like streaming, I don't even no.
And
I'm not worried about that.
It's tough. It's tough. Yeah. So what's next for you as far as where you want to be in the next 2-3 years versus where you are right now?
So right now we're at a point where we have such a well-rehearsed set. I've got a vibe, a good brand. I love everything that I've done and put out as a project so far. And we're trying to hit the festivals next year. I've not played festivals, and everyone's like,
ever?
How are you not
other than when you were
festivals?
A cover band?
I'm telling you, no.
Seriously.
I know.
How is that even possible?
I know. Well, because I never really tried. I never, it's a whole, you got to sit down behind your computer.
You got to ask him to book you.
And start emailing everybody, you know, all the different festivals. And it takes time, but also I'm glad for where I am now. I'm ready. I'm ready for that. And so many people have said, you're ready for this. You should be playing festivals. You should be doing this. So we're in a point where next year I want to be playing festivals, getting that exposure, and being a direct opener for like a bigger artist, because that's really how you get your new audiences. I need to be put in front of new audiences. People are always like, how have I not heard of you before? I'm like, probably because of the algorithm.
Well, right. Well, and here's a question when it comes to being an opening act. Mm-hmm. You as an artist having a unique sound and where you fit in a genre, mm-hmm. who do you feel you'd be the perfect opener for? I'll give you a chance to say, I think I should open for this person.
Yeah.
But what range, when you talk about, you know, being able to open yourself up to new fans and all the rest of it, who are the types of artists that are out there right now that people would know that you're like, I think this, I would be a cool twist to open or tour or mini tour with this artist because of this?
Yeah.
Go.
So I have a core, and I think because of my main influences, we can cast a wide net. We've been going between rock and country.
Totally.
Like, I recently opened up for Hannah Wickland, and she's an insane lead guitarist in, like, the jam band. She went on tour with Greta Van Fleet, Marcus King Band, like, that whole camp. And that was a great fit. All of her fans really liked me. So I was like, okay, that works. And then, like, I could totally see myself opening for L. King.
Okay, yes.
I love L. King.
Right.
Kaleo is another band. Love them. We do a couple of their songs as a cover. ZZ Ward, Dorothy. Dorothy is killer, and we're both very similar. She's more like goth rock, like she has the whole all black thing.
That would be a cool show. That'd be a cool show.
Yeah, I love her. So she's a big influence. I don't know. There's so many. Cadillac 3, Whiskey Myers. I don't know. I could just see so many different influences.
You know, and I think what's important, and I think people need to really just get into your music. They need to dive in and not go to Spotify and see which one has more, you know, for me to, like, listen. Listen to all your music because lyrically, honestly, your music is fantastic.
Thank you.
And musically, as far as, it's catchy. It stays with you. Mm. You know, ever since I've kind of gotten to know you and knew you were going to come play, start listening to your music, right?
Yeah.
And I'll wake up with one of your songs in my head. And if that happens, that's what you're looking
that's
for, right?
That's great. That's
but
huge.
But people have to go out and dig deeper into Jenny Teeter to know who you are and start to kind of broaden their own, what they would think they don't listen to.
Right.
And listen to it because so much of you is right on the edge of so many different artists. And I think they've got to just give that listen. They got to try it.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the whole point. I'm playing so many good shows. This year has been a complete level up and just getting in front of new audiences with the bourbon song and like, or the whiskey song and getting in front of those crowds and just getting out there and everybody, it's been all good feedback so far. So it's just been a really cool journey.
So what is one of the things that you feel is, I don't know, your strong suit when it comes to the experience of a show? So somebody's coming to see you, what are they going to walk away feeling like? And what do you think you know they're going to walk away feeling like? Because if you're going to step up on a stage, you have an idea of what you're trying to put out there. What is that you think that you're putting into everybody?
Honestly, I see a lot of artists get up on stage and just do their show without talking to an audience. Like, I don't
understand
that. No engagement.
Feels scripted.
Like, you're cooler than it. I don't know what's...
The stage presence is 100% rehearsed versus just authentic.
Oh, you can totally tell, too. Yeah. And it's like, okay, I am myself. I am, like, so myself on stage and call me weird, but I have just this
weird
personality. Like, I am weird, but I have this sassy, just outgoing personality where it comes out on stage and I actually tell the stories behind my songs. Like, it might even just be a little phrase of, like, anyone raise your hand if you ever had your heart broken or something like that.
Right.
And I'm always engaging with the crowd, and I think that is super important because then you feel a connection with them and they actually listen to your lyrics. I see it happen. And it's just like the best feeling to leave a show feeling heard, maybe like getting some validation from a song because you actually understand the lyrics and what they're trying to say. And just feeling like you were valuable that night, you know?
Yep.
So my biggest thing is always engaging with the crowd and having them leave like just like amped, but also heard.
And I'm not going to lie, you have a marketing twist to the way you go about who you are, what you're trying to put out there. You do it in unique customer experience, fan experience ways. You're not just focused on what's your next gig. You're focused on creating a show that has a well-rounded experience. Where did that come from?
I don't know. I mean, honestly, it's just my heart. Everything that I write comes from experience of some sort. So maybe it's because I'm just so invested in these songs and I really believe in the power behind them and the, and the message behind them. Because if you don't really tell that, someone might hear and be like, oh, that was a cool song, but like don't really understand. And so I just I just put it out there. Like, I put it out there for people to either like or don't like, but I'm going to be myself at the end of the day and be genuine about it.
Right.
And not fake.
Right.
Like, this is what I'm doing for my life.
Right.
So, yeah, I just put it all out there on the stage, and I hope people walk away with some.
Well, and what I love about you just in this short period of time, because this is really, truly the most we've ever talked.
Yes, it is.
And gotten to know each other. And she, you know, you sat down and said, what do you want to talk about? What are we going to talk about? And I said, no clue. And you're like, cool. and
we'll
this
come
is,
up with something.
We'll come up with something. And
start talking.
And it really comes down to who you are as a person, and you just happen to have this unbelievable voice and unbelievable skill. And it's been a blast to get to know you. Bourbon, how long has that been in your life?
Oh my gosh. Honestly, fairly new. I would say, I drank it through college, but it was college. So I would say once I moved to Nashville, I really found a love for it. I just got to try. I mean, you're in Nashville,
true.
Tennessee.
True.
And I became a Jack Daniel's ambassador. Right when I moved there.
That's awesome.
So that kind of threw me into it. And we went to the distillery and learned more about how it was made. And I just learned so much about Jack, but overall bourbon and whiskey. So,
because once you start to hear a story about something, it starts to make you appreciate what you're actually drinking or consuming.
Absolutely.
Which is also the same thing when it comes to music. So if you're somebody that wants to learn more or put more out there and engage and make something more consumable and digestible and have meaning behind it, you're gonna start to love it more, you're gonna start to drink it more, all of it. So then you start to sample more. And then
Velvet
it turns
cake.
Into it, which kind of plays into just who you are.
Absolutely. I just love it. And it's become a really fun hobby. Like, my boyfriend, actually, when I met him, he has a whole collection at the house. And I was like,
hopefully it's been depleted.
A little bit. It's huge.
But if you keep on replenishing,
I'm
the depletion is
tough.
I'm
adding some to it now. He always says, because I'm like, our collection. He's like, our collection. I'm like, well, you know.
Well, these three.
Five, you know. It's like, whatever. But that kind of got me into, like, oh, my God, there's, like, people that really collect bourbon.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, putting
I've got a closet of it in my office.
I'm telling you. Like, there's a whole, like, like, scene of bourbon people. And so when I put out Whiskey With Me and started making these TikToks, everyone's like, what's that? They saw it in the background. Like, what's that collection you got?
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, you mean this?
And then, you've done tasting shows.
Yes. It's been so fun.
Okay, so explain that whole concept. Because, again, most artists are going into a venue, doing sound check, going grabbing something to eat. What time do we have to be back?
Right. Then like a typical show.
All of it.
Yep.
Because you've been here all day.
Yes.
Like, you came from airport to here, sound check, you know, focusing on, like, what we want, what we're looking for, and we're all just kind of partnering through it. You haven't been to the hotel yet.
Nope.
You've done 2 wardrobe changes.
Yep.
The whole thing. You got that hair crimped right here.
I did it in the
bathroom
here. Fine. You got to do what you got to do.
Right. So tell me, like, what's that all about as far as, like, connecting with the fans by having something VIP-ish?
Yeah. So we came up with this idea of, like, okay, whiskey's very on brand, one. Yeah. 2, I have a whole song about it. Like, how can we create this, like, cool experience to get people to come to your show? Like, not just, like, I have a show.
Love it.
I'm like, okay, Whiskey With Me tour. We're like, why don't we hit up distilleries and tap into their audiences, which are all new to me.
Yep.
And they have VIP lists and email lists, probably. Jack Daniel's has Squires.
Yep. Brilliant.
And so it was like, okay, let's offer a VIP ticket where they can have a whiskey tasting with the artist, meet and greet, and then the show, just right before the show.
Love that. You have no idea.
We're very proud of it. We're like, we came up with this idea, and it's actually working. And so we've done Dickel, Jack Daniel's, Bullet Distillery, like, and Leaper's Fork Distillery, and hoping to get some more.
And there's so many across the country now, these little pocket, you know, distilleries that are popping up. And I just think that is such an angle to get out there and then play those festivals and get that vibe. So it's been great to get to know you.
Thank you. And it's same to you. This is such an amazing venue.
Thank you for saying that.
Good work, man.
So I want next time you come out here, which there's going to be a next time.
Okay, good. I was going to ask, can I come back?
I want to do exactly that. I want to do a whole tasting, a whole thing. And let's make it fun and engage with the customers and the fans a whole different way. And let's do it.
Let's do it.
Thanks for doing this. Thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this has been Jeff Peterson and the Interstate of Music Podcast here with Jenny Teeter. Yay. Check her out. She's amazing.